I'm speaking with Aaron Sachs, professor of history at Cornell University and the organizer of the Conference on Academic Creative Writing, taking place tomorrow, Saturday, May 13th, in Klarman Hall on the Cornell campus. The public is invited to attend the opening and closing sessions of the conference. Aaron, thanks for talking with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Just to start off, I was thinking that some listeners might think of the notion of creative academic writing as an oxymoron. And in the description of the conference tomorrow, you write that, quote, all graduate students are expected to become professional writers, and yet few of them get the opportunity to study writing as an art and a craft. So do you think that academics do think that their writing has to be clinical and dry to be taken seriously, and that you are hoping to get them away from that notion?
Yeah, that is the basic idea. And I really appreciate what you said about the oxymoron. I happen to like oxymorons myself. I find them very stimulating. I'm working on another project right now on environmental humor, which is a good oxymoron because environmentalists tend to be dour and sanctimonious as opposed to humorous. But in terms of academic writing, yeah, I think the thing that I'm working against most of all is the assumption that writing for academics is simply some sort of translation of their research. It's just a thing that they have to do to get their research out there. And what I want them to do is think about the writing in itself as an end and as something that contributes to their research, that recreates their research in a way. Maybe the most important thing about defining a field or discipline is not actually the writing template, and there's a lot more flexibility there than people realize.
And what do you mean by what you just said about using their writing to create their research or contribute to their research?
But if you think about writing as a chance to discover something new and to do something, to do an act of creation, to make something beautiful, then there's likely to be more freshness for your reader and more excitement for your reader. And that's what we want. We want our scholarship to be compelling, to really grab people and get them engaged.
And your most recent book, Arcadian America, The Death and Life of an Environmental Tradition, was nominated for the Pulitzer Prize in General Nonfiction. Did you deliberately set out to write a book that you hoped would appeal to the general public? Why and how did you do that?
Yeah, well, thanks for mentioning. I have always tried to produce scholarship that could be thought of as creative nonfiction. In the case of Arcadian America, it's a somewhat unusual and experimental book in that it has a lot of historical scholarship in it, but it also has quite a bit of memoir in it. So the two forms are blended together in ways that are just unusual and I hope illuminating and engaging. Ultimately, the goal is for people to find what they are comfortable with, whatever level of creative production they want to do. Most of all, I just want to let people know that it's possible. And even when you're a graduate student, there are all kinds of ways in which you can negotiate with your PhD committee and show them that this kind of scholarship is being done in a very serious way by other people, and there are openings here.
So you kind of alluded to this in your last answer, but what kinds of literary techniques do you use in your writing to appeal to the lay public? And do you deliberately choose subjects that would appeal to the general reader?
So the question of subject matter is really interesting, but I'm going to argue for the position that subject matter does not necessarily determine how you write. It's, of course, true that some subjects are obviously more geared, let's say, toward more creative writing. If you have a really compelling character that you're writing about, that is always helpful. Almost every reader would like to engage with a compelling character. But at the same time, you know, there are fantastic science writers out there who, for instance, who sometimes write about interesting scientists, but also sometimes treat their ideas as characters and develop them over time and let you get to know their quirks and that sort of thing. So I think you can write creatively about anything. In terms of the question of literary techniques, I borrow very, very widely. In Arcadian America, I got very, very interested in the combination of text and images. And so I use a lot of images in the book and sometimes interpret them. Sometimes there will be, you know, a page of text actually trying to analyze the image in the book. But other times the image is meant to stand in as a kind of text itself, so that you're reading along and then there's nothing in the text introducing the image that comes next, but that's what your eye gets to. And it's supposed to move the story along, as it were, in a more subtle way than the text could. And that, you know, just saying that phrase, moves the story along, makes me want to mention the basic idea of narrative. In a lot of scholarship, what you're doing is analysis, but history, I think, is well positioned to use storytelling in addition to analysis. And so I often try to weave together storytelling and analysis. So I'll be going through a particular narrative and then step back for a moment or even a few pages to offer some additional historical context or various other kinds of analysis and interpretation, so that there's a kind of rhythm that develops between narrative and analysis. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, literary techniques can be taken from virtually anything, you know, graphic novels, poetry, drama. Perhaps most importantly for academics, there is this thriving genre of creative nonfiction. Essayists and journalists and all kinds of other people who write nonfiction, but in a literary way. So there are great models out there.
Yeah, I mean, what just popped into my head when you were talking was, the popularity of Hamilton. And mm-hmm. and I wonder if that show has attracted more people to read history and look at history.
Yeah, it's Hamilton is a great example. And, you know, speaking as a historian, I do have to note and in a way defend the historians who have pointed out that there are all kinds of problems with the implications of Hamilton in terms of how that history went down and what the, for instance, the racial dynamics were like at that time. But at the same time, I think it would be a huge mistake to limit our scholarly response to that show by just correcting it, as it were. I completely agree that one of the most important impacts of Hamilton is that it has gotten people excited about history.
So I guess just related to your statement, I'm wondering, how does a history researcher who would like to attract more of the general public to want to read about history reach out to a population that is getting entertained by binge-watching TV series or sending tweets of 140 characters and hearing sound bites?
Yeah, I mean, there are many different ways in which I'm tempted to answer that. One clear one that is being taken up by, I think, a younger generation. I'm in my late 40s, and I'm fairly old-fashioned. I love books, but I've had a number of graduate students who are doing history very seriously, getting their PhD, but they're also much more engaged in the digital universe than I am. And in fact, there are more and more wonderful opportunities online for people to publish interesting, serious writing. One of my former graduate students was involved in an online journal called The Appendix that called itself a journal of narrative and experimental history, or something. I might be getting that wrong, but something like that. And it got a huge number of contributions from academics who were right in that sweet spot of having a lot of scholarship at their fingertips, but wanting to write something more creative and just different from what you could do in a traditional academic journal. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, more and more of those things are popping up online, so that the digital universe is one great outlet for people who want to do this.
Can you talk about the public portions of the conference on academic creative writing? What will our listeners hear about if they attend?
Sure. So it starts off right at 9 o'clock, and the morning sessions that are open are two roundtables that are closely interconnected. The first one is called Artfulness for Academics, where four panelists will talk about literary techniques, essentially, and how academics might be able to use them. And then the second one is called Writing and Publishing for a Broader Audience. And again, closely related to the first panel, but a little bit more focused on the outreach part. Mm-hmm. So there will be people talking about digital opportunities, for instance, and just how to think of yourself and position yourself, get involved in the right networks so that you have outlets for this kind of work. So that's the morning, and then the afternoon there are going to be workshops for graduate students who have submitted writing in advance. But then the conference will culminate with what we call a History Slam happy hour at 5 o'clock in Hollis E. Cornell Auditorium in Goldwyn-Smith. And it's very similar to a poetry slam, but with history and all other kinds of academic writing. Each person, it's an open mic event, basically, and each person who decides to read will get up to 5 minutes just to read some work out loud and allow people to experience it in a completely different way. So, you know, we're hoping that people will write things that emphasize rhythm and sound in a way that academic writing doesn't normally. And I've done history slams for the past 7 years at Cornell, and they've always been really, really popular and fun events. It's very different from what academics normally do. And I should also say there's no slamming. It's not competitive in any way. It's really just a chance to celebrate artful, resonant writing.
And how can our listeners find out more about the conference?
You can always Google. It's actually Creative Academic Writing, Conference on Creative Academic Writing. Mm-hmm. Just Google that, and the schedule should come up.
Okay, great. So Aaron Sachs, professor of history at Cornell University and organizer of the Conference on Academic Creative Writing, thanks for talking with me today.
Thanks so much.